Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Politibabble, where we're going to be addressing le féminisme, or otherwise known as feminism. My name is Archibald Elliott, and I'm joined by
Brisha Shaw,
Ayla Schwartz,
and Sam Rowe.
And we'll just let the theme music play out, I suppose.
See you, and that's what you're supposed to do.
Archie's kicked me off the desk after my performance last week.
No wonder why. No, we didn't kick you off the desk.
For audio listeners, Sam isn't in. I've just filled in for Sam there.
Ewan resigned his position.
Forced resignation.
I had a Tory resignation, much like the education secretaries have had this week, where they've had their resignation letter handed to them.
So Ewan is now, for this purpose, called Sam. So hello, Sam, how are you?
You've been downgraded to Sam status, Ewan.
I call that an upgrade, to be honest.
He's not even here to defend himself.
Sam went camping.
Yes.
Abandoned us for the joys of the outside.
He's on his holiday.
For the record, I would also abandon you guys to go camping.
It depends who it was with.
Thanks for the commitment there, Ewan.
No worries.
If it was camping with Archie, I would not abandon the podcast to go camping with Archie.
Would you not? I would. That'd be such a meme.
I don't think I could deal with him for like 24 hours. I could barely deal with him for 2 hours.
I know. If I am found strangled in the ditch, we all know what happened there.
But you asked me to strangle you last week.
Anyway, moving on. As you may have noticed in the introduction, we're joined by Ailish this week.
Right.
Our Sam replacement.
Yes.
If you're watching this, which I hope you will, and not like Ewan who didn't watch the episode.
I did watch the episode.
After we told you because you didn't watch it last week.
That was his homework, so we'll have a test on that later.
I can't even
remember what we said, actually.
So we do hope, Sam, you're watching this and realise you've been replaced.
See what you're missing, Sam.
Yeah.
I think the fact that both Sam and Ewan have missed an episode just proves further to my point that I carry the podcast.
You really do.
Okay, Brisha, keep telling yourself that.
Shut up, Ewan. You weren't here for an episode. You don't have a say.
You weren't here for an episode.
It's fine. It's now the competition between Brisha and I who can make the most Politibabble episodes.
Archie.
No, what?
You've got to win, Brisha.
Archie's totally going to win.
I'm going to T-pose on him to win. Right.
Yes. So this week we're talking about feminism. I chose to put a bit of French in the title because why not? We all love French here.
Because the other title was really long-winded
and made no sense.
Yes. It was just going to be feminism, but I thought that's a bit... Let's have some le féminisme. I probably pronounced that wrong, so if you are French, I do apologise.
I don't, bloody frogs.
He doesn't, but...
Okay.
Okay. Yes, we do like French
people. We do like French people.
Yeah. Especially French cheese, I must say. French cheese is very good.
How Tory
can you
get?
Tell which one's the Tory on this podcast?
I don't know. Is it Ewan?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think you might be.
Yeah.
Look at me. I'm a Tory. I hate poor people. Anyway, feminism.
That's the podcast. Thanks, guys, for listening.
See you next week.
You've been Politibabbled.
Hugs and kisses. Right.
Let's play the outro music.
Does this mean I have to say hugs and kisses this week?
I know. So I should get a Sam recording here. Like, yeah. Hugs and kisses. Just have like a button.
They accidentally play it during the man in line.
We'll record it and stick it on Myriad and like disguise it as something else.
Like man in line theme music.
Yes.
Just Sam saying hugs and kisses.
Sam saying hugs and kisses to like some dubstep music. I would like honestly, we might get kicked out of the studio for that, but it would be worth it.
Yeah, it would be worth it.
We'll just say Sam did it. Sam's voice is on it, so it's fine.
We don't even know how to Myriad. What are you talking about?
What's Myriad? Who knows?
I sure as hell don't.
Yes. Yeah, because Archie's always on the desk.
Archie will not relinquish power for the life of him.
Shh, you shall be silenced.
I had to all but like drag him off the desk last week.
It's my episode next week, and you best believe he's not sitting there.
I'll be out the window.
Yes. You'll be on the little couch that's over there.
Yes. Anyway, so this week we talk about feminism. So to give a brief definition of feminism, I think at least the Britannia Is it Britannia? Or is it Britain? I can't pronounce the encyclopedia name.
You can't pronounce Ben Shapiro either.
Encyclopedia Britannica.
Encyclopedia Britannica. Anyway, it defines feminism as the belief in social, economic, and political equality of the sexes. Although largely originating in the West, feminism is manifested worldwide and is represented by various institutions committed to activity on behalf of women's rights and interests. A bit long-winded there. So basically, it just aiming for equality of gender.
I would just like to add that feminism is a very diverse and very deep political ideology, and it can't really be defined in a short sentence because there are so many different ways of looking at and thinking about feminism that to try and define it is kind of difficult.
Thank you, Ewan.
However, for the sake of simplicity, we'll go with that one.
Very cool.
Very cool, Ewan.
If you couldn't tell, I did A-level politics, and feminism was the choice that we could take.
Very cool.
Very cool.
Very cool. Very cool. Very cool.
I didn't want to spend 5 hours trying to explain all the niche and the nuances within feminism, as it's a wide range.
Feminism,
much like
very
the populists
big.
He follows, Archie likes to dumb things down.
Well, ciao. Anyway, so
not that again, Brucia. Not that again. Anyway.
Has feminism changed from its original message?
Message. Should we go to Eilish for that? Yes.
Our local woman?
No. Brucia, we're not doing that. That was Brucia talking about that there, so yeah.
Well, originally, feminism was aimed to get the right to vote for women, especially in the UK, who didn't have the vote to start with. So in that regard, it's changed into what we need, but it's still at its core the same principle. Belief that men and women should be equal. That's my opinion, anyway.
I'm sure we're all. I'm pretty sure none of us here, apart from Sam, who's not appeared, obviously.
Yes. Sam hasn't appeared because he's anti-feminist.
He's anti-women's rights, of course. Yeah.
I think in the way people perceive feminism hasn't changed, because suffragettes, I think that's what we all kind of think about. When we think of suffragettes, like if feminism even is like suffragettes and like the voting for women's rights, and they were like berated for that. And I think feminism today, like the main thing I think of is the gender pay gap. When like a couple years ago that was like a big thing, quite a lot of people were like, the gender pay gap isn't real, like it is, but like we digress, and like they were shot down again. Not literally, but like again with like the suffragettes, they were like kind of dismissed, and like that's, you know, I think more people are openly feminist now than that were like back in the 1900s.
To be fair, feminism used to be a radical radical in air quotes ideology. It used to be considered radical. Do you guys mind me going on a little just an explainer of the different waves of feminism?
Yeah, we mind it so much, Ewan. Yeah, no, just carry.
You're on a time limit.
You're on a time limit. Yeah.
Well,
30 seconds.
I'm reading from my AS Politics notes because I've just found them, so it'll be brief. So, like, the first wave of feminism, basically up to the 1940s, was about suffrage, equal suffrage, the ability to like vote and own land and property and similar things like that, and that's where you get the suffragettes from. The second wave of feminism was between the 1960s and the 1980s, which focused much more on like the personal sort of stuff. A really good quote is the personal is political, which was Carol Hanisch, who was a feminist writer at the time. It was a quote about domestic abuse and like the fact that it was ignored and seen as political, seen as personal. However, it should have been seen as political. So that sort of second wave. Third wave, around about the 90s, was sort of shifting the focus of feminism from middle-class white women to all women. And there's a theoretical fourth wave that's not quite been defined yet. That's been, as of 2008 up until recently, it's sort of what you think of and see as internet feminism. That's just a quick explainer.
Very cool.
As you see, we're using Ewan's catchphrases against him.
Very cool, Archie.
Okay. Yes.
I mean, if your feminism doesn't include every type of woman, like trans women, women of colour, disabled women, like women of any religion, it's not feminism. It's for everyone. So
yeah.
you know,
and men as well. Men as well. It's for equality of all gender, as it says.
I mean, no, because okay, it's feminism. if it was equality, it'd be like equalism or something. I don't know how you say it, but like
some people try and call it humanism or something like that.
Yes.
Oh, you can tell they're straight white men, can't you? Okay,
yes.
Yeah. One thing that I did want to talk about is, I remember reading an article, like, years ago that was, like, women can't drive in the Middle East, and it was, like, a couple years ago, so I googled before this episode, you know, trusty Google, 10 things why Saudi Arabian women flee Saudi Arabia, and they can't travel or get passports, they don't have freedom to choose their marriage partner, and are forced into child marriages. Quite a lot of the time there is domestic violence. They are discriminated in employment. They're discriminated within healthcare. There's inequality in divorce and child custody. There's challenges of transferring guardianship of children, I assume that is. Yes, I think. Maybe. Restrictions on leaving prisons and shelters, and restrictions on studying abroad, and there's lack of political representation and backing. So yeah, that's not very good, considering it's 2020, and, you know...
Considering it's insert year here. Yeah. to be fair, that's kind of one of my gripes with a lot of, like, modern... Not just feminists, but like a lot of people that are sort of focusing on what one would consider first world problems. Don't get me wrong, there are a lot of issues with the societies that we have in the West. I just think a lot more focus needs to be placed on what's going on in places like the Middle East and Asia as well.
Yeah. As in the UK, we are so lucky compared to so many women across the world in Asia and Middle East and Africa and places like that. And Latin America, we're very lucky with what rights that we do have, and we can try and use our voices to help like women in other countries that don't have as much of a political standing as we do to help them gain the rights that they need and they deserve, and it's a human right. So yeah
it's more, I think feminism is kind of more of a human rights issue than a political issue, but they do kind of mix, if that makes sense. Yeah.
I think it really depends on what kind of wave of feminism you're talking about, the human rights thing. I agree with you that a lot of the things that feminism focuses on are like human rights issues. I think the further you get on with feminism, though, in terms of the waves, the less it becomes a human rights thing, and the more it becomes a political issue, if you get me. And it's sort of trying to balance those two.
Yes.
Well, it is... Oh, I think my slightly too down there. But with, obviously, feminism being human rights and... politics, to have human rights implemented within law, you need politics. Politics obviously aids that then for human rights issues to be put into law, which obviously they should be. And I think overall, I think none of us here are going to say feminism is bad. We all agree here that feminism is good. We should have, obviously, women's rights. I'm not going to say... We should never have feminism. No,
treading on eggshells here.
I know, eggshells. Oh,
yeah.
That doesn't sound too pleasant. What? Just treading on eggshells. I don't want to tread on eggshells.
Yeah, Archie, it's a figure of speech.
I know. I guess. Very cool, Ewan. Very cool. But I was reading an interesting article from the Lancaster University Student Union, and it was on. It was a great debate. I'm not sure whether it is. Debate or not, some may disagree. Is feminism still necessary today?
Yes.
I know. We all get the answer
debate
there.
Done, guys. Thank you very much. That's Politibubble.
But there was an interesting part about radical feminism. This was a quote from it. That radical feminism has taken the idea. This is obviously maybe an extrapolation of the original points of feminism. Radical feminism has taken the idea of equality of opportunity and run with it blindly on a postmodernist Marxist quest for the equality of outcome.
Thank you, Dr. Jordan
Ewan.
Peterson, for all of the buzzwords.
Who's Dr. Jordan?
Wait, Jordan, do you not know who Dr. Jordan Peterson is?
I've not come across him, no.
Thank God, please don't.
Would you mind explaining for us?
I would not mind. I would actually mind explaining you guys, because I genuinely do not know enough about the man himself. I just know that he uses a lot of buzzwords like cultural postmodern Marxists, cultural Marxists. You remember we were talking about Ben Shapiro and Costa earlier, Archie, and how he's kind of dumb.
That's what you were saying, yes.
That's what people with common sense are also saying. Jordan Peterson's in a similar situation. He's a psychologist who's decided to take on politics and is doing a very poor job of it.
I suppose some psychological analysis of politicians could be very interesting.
Okay, but Jordan Peterson has, like, the worst takes.
Yeah, just look at him briefly. I've never heard of him before, if you can't tell. He's a Canadian clinical psychologist, and he, I think, is... yeah, and he began is I think 2010 he began focusing on politics.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah, he's found himself a little bit of a cult following, but basically Jordan Peterson is like one of the talking heads for the right wing. Now the man himself is not an anti-feminist per se, but like a lot of the anti-feminists that you find on the internet will be Jordan Peterson fanboys. Yeah.
Ewan is one.
Yeah, I genuinely love Jordan Peterson.
Yeah,
Jordan Peterson comes out with some of the worst takes, and I will fight that to my grave.
But would you agree that the fight for women's rights and the you haven't heard what I'm going to say.
I do know what you're going to say. It's related to that Maggie Thatcher quote.
It's not
the Maggie
Thatcher. I can mention the Maggie Thatcher quote now because you brought it up. The Margaret Thatcher quote is that this is in 1980. Because I do not. Yes, I have turned their mics off because I do not want to be interrupted. Because you'll never hear what I'm going to say. In 1980, Margaret Thatcher says the fight for women's rights has been mostly won. Obviously, not. All one, obviously now it's still not all one. But I was wondering, do you think that he has increased quite significantly over the past few years, or has it gotten better, for example?
But before anyone starts, I would just like to point out that Archie has just basically represented the patriarchy in a really good way by silencing all of the women present so he could speak.
and the men. I'm not discriminatory.
Okay,
here.
But...
It's the Maggie Thatcher haters. I don't know why you don't like
people
her.
With common sense. Yeah. Anyway.
The people with no common sense.
You turned our mics off to stop us
interrupting.
Voicing our views on a thing that... We disagree with you all.
I did say the feminism episode was going to be a minefield, and I meant it.
I said you're welcome to respond. I was just saying,
except for when you
heard,
want them to.
The point heard.
As long as they know their place, they can respond in due time.
Yes.
So, what
do you guys think of radical feminism going too far?
It's not feminism.
That wasn't the question, Ewan.
I think everything has.
That was exactly the question.
Okay, I think everything has like. A radical side to it, if that makes sense. Like, there's always going to be like one idiot that ruins it for the rest of us, and that one idiot will get the most media attention because they're being an idiot, and like the media can profit off it basically, and like that's the one idiot that like tarnishes the name, and like the one idiot everyone knows when like realistically
most people aren't like that.
It's like the 90% of people aren't like that, and then you get the weird 10% that are.
Yeah, it's like those feminazis that want women to be more equal than men. Well, you're not a feminist then. Yeah. Feminism is equality of like both genders, like all the genders.
Well, I mean, there are different schools of thoughts for feminism. I think radical is kind of a non-word, to be honest, because anything could be radical. I mean, the suffragettes were radical. Now, I'm not saying these people like are right or anything. I just think that maybe radical feminism isn't what we should be calling it, because it's a buzzword. People use radical all the time to put down people that they don't like.
But Donald Trump's a perfect example there.
I think what we're kind of discussing here is difference feminism, which is basically an idea that arose in like the 80s and 90s between the second and third waves of like women having special qualities in comparison to men, and those should be celebrated over men. And I don't agree with this. I think it's kind of dumb. But obviously it's like a small sect of feminism. And I think like radical feminism, there are definitely places for it. Like the Middle East being a prime example of somewhere needing like a radical feminist shift. But at the same time, as I kind of said earlier, I think a lot of radical feminists are focusing more on the first world.
I think there's like radical feminists in their ideas of like killing all men and like we hate men. Like that's not feminism, that's just like I don't even know what to call that, because it's just like hating men, I guess.
Yeah, it ends up being brought under the umbrella of feminism. But I do agree, it definitely shouldn't be considered.
And then you get, like, the radical feminists that are radical in their demonstrations of feminism, if that makes sense. Like, I always think of that lady, I think it was, like, Emily something.
Katie Hopkins. No, it's not her.
Is this the suffragette that went under the King's horse?
Yeah, that,
Emily,
like...
Emily Pankhurst.
Was it Emily Pankhurst?
The one that, I think it was her.
That jumped under the... It's, like, debated whether she jumped under the King's horse or whether she was, like, trying to put the little, like, feminist banner on the King's horse. But I think that's, like, a radical thing to do, no matter, like, whether she jumped under it or was putting the little banner on the horse.
But would you think there's, like, a current need, maybe in the UK, for example, with the Isle of Man, to have radical feminism? Or do you think it can be achieved through... like political and societal pressure.
Emily Davison threw herself under the King's horse at the
Epsom
Derby.
I think Emily Pankhurst was like the main feminist lady.
Emmeline Pankhurst was like a massive feminist activist throughout the 1900s.
But do you think that radical feminism is necessary kind of within the world that we currently subsist in? Like, within like what you'd class as the political West, i.e. the Isle of Man, the UK example?
I think a good way to refer to them would be MEDC, more economically developed countries. Honestly, I would go with radical, maybe not, but I think there's definitely still a place for feminism in the West.
Yeah. I saw a BBC article that said that the UK is on course to close the gender disparity in 98 years. I'm not going to be alive by then, so...
I mean, you might be, but like, you'll be very old.
And so we obviously still got a long way to go in terms of feminism. If I guess the biggest one at the moment for people in the UK is the gender pay gap, like you said before. Last year, the average one was 17.3% of the gender pay gap between men and women for all workers. So that means approximately women are paid 83p for every £1 that men are paid.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it adds up very quickly.
Yes.
So that for me is the... I wouldn't say we necessarily need radical feminism for it. So places like the Middle East, as we said before, most definitely need it. But here, not so much. But definitely need more political change.
I think there also needs to be like more media attention on like charities or causes that support women. Yeah, if that makes sense. Like there needs to be more activism of women supporting women, because there's like... especially with social media, there's lots of things that are like body shamers and like the pressures of like looking beautiful and like all this and that. And I feel like there needs to be more activists that are like, oh, you know, we support you no matter what. Like, I don't know if that makes sense, but like, yeah, I know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, women supporting women, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And like more advertising for causes of like domestic violence and stuff, because I feel like yes, it doesn't always affect women, but it's more likely to affect women, and it's still something that's very like hush hush about.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw a UN report actually, and it said the less educated a woman is, the more likely she is to experience domestic violence in her life.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I think I leaned on something weird.
Yeah.
Sorry,
my mic out.
Typical patriarch.
I thought you said Ewan report then.
No, like, I read it.
I write reports on women.
Ewan reports.
Yeah, sorry, Ewan, that does sound a bit odd. I write reports on women. That's Ewan's quote. That's Ewan's quote of the day.
I mean, at least he didn't
thank
ask
you, Archie.
You to
very
choke
cool.
him.
Yeah. But in the UK, it was the 1970, they had the Equal Pay Act. So obviously it is illegal, has been for like 50 years.
Still happens.
We legislated for it, sexism is solved, lads.
Yeah,
Do you know what else is illegal, Archie? Murder, but that still happens.
I know. I was more saying, do you think it requires a societal change within maybe companies, for example, which I think is more so rather than a political change to maybe achieve that gender pay gap? Because it already is legislated. It's legislated as illegal. So what more can the legislator do rather than maybe the
checks,
private companies?
I guess.
Can force it more?
Can I jump in as like a proper radical socialist here? maybe the onus is on private company owners to pay their workers equally. Maybe, for example, we should have a look at that, because this is an issue. It is definitely a women's issue, but I'd like to bring this to as a working class issue. There's a lot of people being paid a lot of difference, and it's always been taboo in the workplace to talk about money, which I think is something that needs to be societally changed. I think that, like, a lot of people are being paid unequally for doing the exact same job, and that needs sorting. That happens to men as well as women.
Yeah. Very cool, Ewan.
Maybe instead of fighting the patriarchy, we should be fighting the bourgeoisie.
I think...
Okay, that's... Yeah.
I think, especially recently, feminism hasn't just become, like, a women's issue. It's become, like, an everyone's issue that women aren't equal. If that makes sense.
To a degree, we need societal change.
Yes.
Yeah.
Away from capitalism.
Yes. 100%. Just down with the government, really. Take the Queen with us.
Oh, can we, please?
Yeah. As obviously, men face a lot of issues. Like, suicide rates are a lot higher in men, and mental health problems. And it's not often talked about as much as it is in women. But I think as part of the advocacy for... complete rights, it helps men to have that too, because then you can get rid of stuff like toxic masculinity, and hopefully encourage more men to come out and talk to people about their mental health problems.
I think an issue that needs to be tackled alongside toxic masculinity is toxic femininity as well, to be honest. And that a lot of people consider that to be
toxic anything needs to be dealt with.
Toxic people need to be dealt with. I think that there is a lot of toxic.
Actually, we're going to deal with you later.
I think there's definitely a lot of toxic masculinity, but I think something that's often overlooked is toxic femininity as well. I think that would be a really good thing to sort of include in the feminist movement.
And this is maybe this. I'll make a boomer comment here. Just to add a different side of the. Of opinion, so we don't all just have one agreement through. This is coming from a boomer standpoint, so please do not hold this against me. Could it do with a name change, maybe from like feminism towards humanism, or
no,
for example, no. Or equalism? It's just an interesting question. Why not?
Because that's
if I could
silly.
Play devil's advocate here for a minute,
if not
I
allowed,
say,
Ewan.
If I
not
could
allowed.
Say the quiet part out loud and make it look like it's not my opinion.
No, because
devil's advocates are part of the problem.
Oh. But do you not think there's a need for open debate?
I do think there's a need for open debate, but I don't think we need to have an open debate about whether feminism is still necessary or whether it needs a name change. I think we should focus more on the issues than the branding, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people want to use humanism as a different term, but, you know, historically it was always feminism, because historically women have always been disproportionately harmed against because of their gender. And so... you know, you've got to keep the history of that, I think. And, you know, everyone knows that feminism means equality for all genders, despite it being maybe have female in the title.
Yeah, I agree there.
Mm. Yes. Big up the girls.
Yeah.
Ah, but if you girl agree part. It needs to be respected because of historical... I won't bring this in statute today. Oh,
don't you dare.
Because Ewan will just pop a vein right
I
there.
I will, actually. Yeah. Like...
Wait, do we want to see you in pop a vein?
No.
Let us know at Politibabble.
No. Yeah.
If I pop a vein, it involves you being, like, murdered on set, aren't you?
Yes. Or do you want... No, you don't want to see me murdered. No one wants to see me murdered.
I want to see that. No, jokes. Please don't arrest me.
You're trying to get
Archie mysteriously dies and, like, some sort of incident later. They're going to be like, Brisha!
Anyone seen Brisha Shaw?
Anyone seen Brisha Shaw?
Into the PlayStation?
Why is there blood over your clothes, Brisha? You murdered me.
I fell into a river of blood.
The blood. Yes.
What I do in my own spare time is no concern of this podcast.
Yeah, I've just found an interesting bit in my notes. What I was talking about earlier with the wage gap and it being more of a class issue is that there's a lot of feminists. Obviously, it's not the rule, but I think a lot of feminists end up tending to be socialists because they sort of trend together. And what I quite like about socialist feminism is it tends to see capitalism and patriarchy not as two separate issues, but two intertwined issues. In fact, Friedrich Engels wrote on the origin of family, private property, and the state, arguing that the movement away from matriarchy and patriarchy coincided with capitalism. So basically, capitalism is what is oppressing women, not necessarily just men.
I'd say it's more patriarchy rather than capitalism.
Archie would rather blame men than the capitalists.
Huh?
That's nice.
Yeah. How does that boot taste, Archie?
What? No, because there's obviously there's obviously a problem with gender disparity, and that obviously needs to be addressed. But capitalism is not the root of the problem, I'd say. We had gender disparity.
Capitalism is the root of all.
We had gender disparity in, if you look at the Middle Ages, for example, capitalism wasn't
feudalism
there.
Is just pseudo-capitalism.
It's not capitalism.
I mean, it basically is.
I mean, it basically isn't. It's called feudalism for a reason. Oh, okay, yes, very, very cool.
I'd like to point out that peasants, they had a lot more equality in medieval times than some people do in the Middle East now. I just want to
that's very true. Yeah.
And you just said that the past and about capitalism and all that. I'm just saying, actually.
Just saying, maybe feudalism was also as bad as capitalism.
But the Middle East is, I think it's Sharia law doesn't necessarily help with...
Sharia.
Sharia.
Shapiro.
Yes.
Tampon tax, let's talk about that.
Okay, yeah, let's move on to tampon tax.
Where's my tab? There we go. As an browser tab, not... tampons and other women's sanitary... tampons and other women's sanitary products currently have a 5% VAT added to their price, but this will be sacked, apparently, saving the average woman over £40 in her lifetime. The tax will be dropped when the transition period for Britain leaving the EU ends on the 31st of December.
So Brexit seems to solve the issue.
Yeah, so basically the EU is a patriarchal system.
But, does that mean that tampons will still be taxed in the EU?
I would assume so.
Yeah, that way. Yeah.
If the VAT is on tampons, like, is tied to being in the EU, then I would assume so. But watch them just instate another law that's basically just adds the tampon tax back. I can almost guarantee it.
It'll be like, instead of having a 5% tampon tax, we're having a 4.99% tampon tax.
But if you look at the Isle of Man, for example, we can't change our VAT rates on, for example, tampons or any sanitary products. So here on the island, we're stuck with the UK, and we have no say in what the UK does in our law.
To be fair, even though they say we're changing it with leaving the EU, what you have to consider is the fact that we have to keep up the trading standards of the EU, otherwise they won't trade with us, and...
We don't need them.
And I don't know whether you've noticed, but they're kind of our neighbours. So, like, any sort of, like, standards gains from the EU comes at the cost of everything having to be checked at the border. Brexit does come with a price.
Yeah.
And that is a price worth paying.
I think having a tampon tax is bad. Like...
Obviously,
it's not a luxury.
All taxation is bad. So
it's classed
of course
as taxation a luxury
is
item.
It is, Ewan.
I think if it was taxed as something else, I feel like I'd be more okay with it. But because it's taxed as a luxury item,
that is very, very stupid.
Of just a bit rude. And you get, like, girls in, like, poverty and stuff that struggle to buy tampons and sanitary towels because they are taxed. Yeah. Whereas you get condoms handed out at health centres for free. I would rather have a tampon or a sanitary towel for something that will definitely happen than a condom for something that will probably never happen.
There's an interesting article in the BBC, I think we point that out earlier.
Yeah, when we were in Costa earlier. Yeah.
A very professional meeting place. Yeah.
There was an
Costa article, sponsor us, please.
There was an article in the BBC about how schools and other educational institutions had no idea that they could order free tampons.
I think that's more of a problem of the government for not telling schools sooner.
I think it's like a school and government administration problem, to be honest.
They probably said it in a small memo. I feel like if they didn't order
tampons, I'd be like, oh, hey, by the way, you guys know you can order tampons and it's free? I feel like I would have told them earlier. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that should be more public information, to be honest.
But we're all in agreement that tax should be scrapped.
Yes.
No.
Hmm? The tax on tampons should be scrapped.
Oh, no, no, no.
So I said the tax should be scrapped.
I thought you said tax should be scrapped.
Well, it
not
should
the
be.
Tax.
I should be. I was getting a question there, Ewan.
Tampon tax should be scrapped.
Phew.
Tax itself should not
should be scrapped.
Let me just clarify my statement.
Yes. I was going to say there, Ewan. I was just like, what? Are you just saying that to be...
Just come out with a hot take.
Yeah? Oh, dear.
Completely out of left field. Ewan secretly hates women.
Yeah. I think Sam, pro-taxation there, he thinks everything should be taxed, you know, billion percent.
Sam is correct.
No, taxation is bad. We don't want tax.
Let's not have a taxation argument now.
No.
Yes. Is that it? Does anyone else have anything... any feminist things?
How does everyone think feminism's going to go in the next few years? Because obviously, I mentioned fourth wave earlier. No one has any clue what fourth wave is going to look like until we're out of fourth wave and into fifth wave. I mean, will there even be a fifth wave? Are we just going to...
We all might be dead.
Yeah. And waves are basically just the evolution of ideology, I suppose.
Like, maybe we'll just be stuck with Tumblr feminists and stuff for the next however long.
Kill all men 2020.
Another thing I'd like to touch on that we haven't really mentioned is the Me Too movement.
Oh, yeah.
What do we think of the Me Too movement and sort of the wider arching, like, getting cancelled nowadays that happens quite a bit?
Not cancel culture.
Yeah.
I could talk for probably about... One millennium on cancel culture.
That's
so.
Because Archie hates women.
That's not true. That's slanderous comments there from you, Ewan.
Yeah, okay, but you do hate women, though.
I think the Me Too movement is very necessary, and any victims of any crime, whether it be sexual assault or, you know, assault in general, should just come out and say it. Obviously, it's not that easy, and you do need support to do it. But then again, at the same time, you shouldn't fake sexual assault allegations.
Yes.
Just because.
That
I think that's very mean.
I think the Me Too movement was generally a force for good.
Yeah.
But I think that the absolute scumbags that have come out and made false accusations have sort of taken away a lot of the legitimacy in some people's eyes.
Yeah.
I think that's been quite a bad thing.
I will never understand why people will fake, like...
Attention.
Like attention. They obviously need help. And, like... Yeah. But it confuses me. It confuses my little brain.
No, I think the Me Too movement has given a lot of women confidence to come out about like sexual assault and abuse and stuff like that that they've experienced. But I mean, the false allegations that happen are horrible that they do, but such a small percentage of them are false allegations. And even the people that make allegations which are true, a lot of the time they don't get prosecuted and don't... And they don't have any, like, enough grounds to prosecute people on. So I think it is a good movement to, like, bring people together in a way.
Yeah.
But I know it can be hard to come out about sexual assault.
I would like to point out that not being prosecuted for sexual assault doesn't mean it didn't happen. It just means it wasn't able to be proved in a court of law.
Yes.
And obviously you can't prosecute someone just because... Like, I could say you stole off me and then I... For example, you can't prosecute off word of mouth, for example.
I do think, however, that people who have been accused shouldn't be lambasted in the way that they were with Me Too. I think that was kind of... Because, like, people who were accused and it turned out to be fake have still had their lives ruined by it.
I think...
But I think that's just sort of symptomatic of such an important movement.
Then surely the accused should... there's legal... you could add... illegal clause, which the accused must remain anonymous until... Yeah. I think Germany has that, for example.
I would agree with that.
I think this should be for any crime, for example. Until you're proven guilty, you shouldn't be then publicised, over the press, Joe Bloggs killed someone or was accused of murder. And then everyone's like, he lives down the door from me. Oh, he's a murderer. Because then it's proved he didn't. And that's just...
It's still going to be...
It's still online everywhere nowadays.
Yeah.
And you can search his name and it's all accused of murder. But what comes up, like, five results down is, and he was acquitted, but you don't see that because he didn't see the first...
Ultimately, the court of public opinion could do a lot worse to people than if they had actually committed the crime.
It does do a lot worse.
It can do, not in all cases. Anyway.
But that's talking about cancel culture is an interesting one.
So, moving on from Me Too, like, how do we think feminism's going to change in the next however long? Just an unspecified period of time.
Well, if you give it unspecified, I think it could totally disappear in like 100 years. Who knows?
Yeah, but like...
Realistically.
Do you think it's going to take that long? I know. We mentioned the thing earlier about 98 years. Do we think it's actually going to take 98 years?
It's 98 years if it carries on at what it is currently. So I don't think it will take 98 years, no.
Yeah.
It takes longer.
That's my prediction.
I think probably in like the next 10 to 20 years, there's going to be something that happens, whether it be in like the Middle East, and then it's going to start like a radical feminist suffragette type movement again, and then it'll be like, we demand equal pay now, or, you know, we're going to go on strike or something. I don't know what it would be. I don't know, understand.
Well, it's interesting how it's just changed in even politicians' lifetimes, because I'll take Margaret Thatcher again. She never thought there would be a female prime minister in her lifetime, and then she became a female prime minister. So that's obviously something which maybe you don't believe will happen, but then it happens.
We could have a female chief minister.
Yeah, can we have a female chief minister? I feel like that.
I volunteer as tribute, guys.
Yeah, I think that I actually kind of agree with Brisha's sentiment. I think there's going to be a catalyst event that will cause this sort of social change. Look at BLM at the moment and the way that BLM has managed to progress things. And I know we're still sort of in the throes of like the rioting phase, but I think once coronavirus gets cleared up, we'll end up with the social activism phase. We will end up with political candidates who are for BLM.
And for those who maybe didn't understand Ewan's acronym, BLM is Black Lives Matter.
I think that post BLM, though, if it's successful, which I really really hope it is, and it looks to be anyway.
You mean ALM? Because all lives matter.
All lives matter.
All lives matter.
If you say that and think that, you're an idiot. Anyway,
that's a hot take.
Ewan's
there,
angered the Karens there.
Yeah, I think that there'll be a catalyst event and we'll end up with a Black Lives Matter type movement. Whether or not it's going to be like viciously rioting, I don't know. Probably not. But I think there's a lot of room for it now with the sort of social climate that has been created politically anyway.
Yes.
Yep. Very cool, Ewan. Very cool.
Thank you.
All I can say, I hope for the future, is that women in areas where they have less political rights than we do have the rights that we do now. Yeah. And hopefully more and stuff like that. That's all I can say. But that it hopefully gets better, and it gets better faster and sooner than 98 years.
I think if we have another Arab Spring type revolution, for those who aren't aware, in 2011 there was a massive wave of revolution across the Middle East called the Arab Spring, where a lot of countries had uprisings. Although it was about political inequality and just voting in general, I think another revolution like that, give it another 10, 15 years, we'll probably end up bringing in a lot more rights for women in that time.
And if you can't tell from Ewan's past statements, he is very for revolution.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. I'm surprised he's not an anarchist, so, you know.
He's definitely not an anarchist, but bring on
likes
revolution.
Anarchism.
I get on with anarchists. We all love anarchists.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anyone else got any more comments?
Yes, anarcho-capitalism. Way to go.
No. Down with the Tories. Down with the Queen.
Down with the neoliberals.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Does anyone else got any more comments before we move on to current affairs?
I was just going to say something about Iceland first,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Go on.
Iceland's the most seen as the most equal country in the world. And the way it's done that is quite interesting, but it has a lot to do with children. And childbirth, and all the women in Iceland went on strike for a while, just didn't work, and their economy was just really struggling without it. So they had to bring reforms in for in the Icelandic government to make it more equal. And so now in Iceland, both women and men are expected to take 6 months of maternity leave if they have children. And so that way, employers, when they come to like employing people, thinking, oh well, if it's a young man or a young woman, then they're about as likely as each other to have children. And so it's not. And in that way, it's progressed equality in Iceland a lot more. So I think we can learn from places like Iceland and Scandinavian countries from there in terms of our equal rights here.
That kind of proves my point about...
go on strike whilst pregnant.
I think that kind of proves my point about workers' rights and feminism being very much interlinked.
They are very much interlinked, yeah.
Interesting.
Anyone else got anything else to say before we move on to current affairs?
Well, I think it's now time for... Yes,
this
hello.
Is why we need our
this is current affairs. This week we're going to be talking about the South Douglas by-election, and it's happening. The BTEC results are delayed.
Again.
Kenosha.
Kenosha, whatever the hell is happening in Kenosha.
And the new Lib Dem leader, and then on to the Republican and Democratic National Conventions. That's all coming up on the Little Babble News. No. Yeah, hello.
Was that really loud for anyone else?
So loud.
Yeah,
guys.
It was. I turned my headphones down before he played it because I knew he was going to.
Oh, sorry. I didn't realise it was...
Sorry to any headphone listeners.
It's like a minus 8 dB on the
No one thing. Knows what that means, Archie. No, like...
Yeah. No, I've heard... dB.
Decibel. Yeah,
decibel
but like...
Game.
South Douglas by-election, that's happening today.
Yep, we're not gonna
as
mention,
of recording.
Yep, we're not going to mention any candidates, because if we do, we have to mention all of them.
But
for
we
sake
do
of
implore, hopefully this comes out before it's polls, the polls close. Close, but we do implore everyone out there,
go
if you can't vote,
go
vote.
Go vote.
Sorry for cutting you off there, Brisha. I just didn't want you to mention a candidate and us have to go through them all.
No, I wasn't going to, because I'm smart.
I know.
Big brain.
You've got to be safe.
Big brain.
Yeah, please go out and vote. It'll be cool.
Go out and vote. Use your vote. I feel... My auntie does this. She doesn't vote, and then she complains about the government, which I just think is really funny.
Yeah.
BTEC results have been delayed now.
Gavin Williamson can't do his job.
I sat one BTEC. Well, I didn't sit a BTEC because I didn't do exams.
You didn't sit. You have a BTEC.
I'm expecting a BTEC, and I went in to get my results, and I was like, oh, my BTEC's not there. And then I was like, oh, maybe they've just forgotten to put it on. So then I went up to the exams lead and I was like, hey, am I being blind or is my BTEC not here? And she was like, oh, yeah, it's coming out on Tuesday. And then because Manx Telecom are amazing and one of the best broadband providers on the Isle of Man, I'm being sarcastic here, the Wi-Fi in my area just, like, didn't work from, like, Monday night to, like, yesterday. Like,
is it
afternoon.
Back up now?
It's back up now.
Yeah.
And so for the whole of Tuesday, I was, like, panicking that I wasn't going to get my results. And so I went into town on Wednesday, and there was no, like, email from the exams officer. And I was like, that's a bit weird. And then, like, I went and did my driving lesson. Didn't crash, guys. And then I went back to into town and got some Wi-Fi again. And they got an email from the head of sick form saying... Oh, by the way, BTEC results have been delayed until Friday. Thanks, guys.
Wait, have you got them now?
No, I'm getting them on Friday. So
what day is it today?
That's Thursday. So I get them tomorrow.
My bad.
Which, like, it's okay for me because I know I'm already in sick form, but if people are applying to, like, college courses or universities and they're, like, one grade behind... They need that, like, one grade from the BTEC. Or, like, maybe you've taken, like, 2 to 3 BTECs. You need those, like, 2 to 3 BTECs to get into university. Then, like, it is just a bit bad, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's not... this is more to do with Pearson, which is the examining body which oversees BTEC.
Yeah.
They still need to sort out how they're going to do all the grading. I think
because it's not like they've had, like, you know, 3 to 4 months to sort this out. Yeah. You know, they've only had like a month. Like, leave them alone, guys. But anyway, yeah, that's just my little rant of this week. As long as I pass, you know, that's all I'm kind of. Like, I'm not too fussed about.
And if you don't pass, they've done a rubbish
job. If not,
job.
They've done a terrible job. They didn't listen to my hard work. But yeah.
Well, hopefully, in regards to the by-election, we should hope. Oh, we're putting our call to whoever wins. We're not going to say who we think will win, but whoever wins, we'd love you to come on and can have a chat about the island's politics.
Even if you don't win and you would like to come on, just give us a shout. We're more than happy to have any of you as a guest because you all seem like very interesting people that we'd really like to talk to.
Apart from... No, I'm joking. Archie was like...
If you mention one, then I have to go through them all.
So
they would say, apart from literally every single one of you, sorry. Yeah.
But you know who you are, which is all of you. Please, give us a shout. We'd love to have you all on.
Hmm.
Yes. Kenosha.
Kenosha. Okay. There is... So, in a long string of the police in the US just blatantly disregarding the BLM movement, 17-year-old has been... Oh, yeah, that's the shooting. One sec. So, Jacob Blake was shot 7 times by police in Kenosha. Archie's turned all the mics off and I'm really...
Sorry, that was just for audio. Yeah. Never mind.
So, basically, Jacob Blake was shot. I'm pretty sure he hasn't died, but he's paralyzed and is, like, you know, in critical condition because he's been shot 7 times. It's triggered a bunch of protests and rioting in a town of only 100,000 people in the US, which is relatively small.
That's, like, a little bit bigger than the Isle of Man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that's just giant. You know, I couldn't think of anything bigger than the Isle of Man.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice.
But yeah.
That was a joke there.
It's quite concerning to see that the police in the US are still pulling this type of stuff, even with all of the political changes going on at the moment.
Yeah.
And the reason I've just put Kenosha and not Jacob Blake is because after this rioting and stuff, There was a shooting in Kenosha by a 17-year-old who crossed state lines to go and defend private property because he's a real edgy boy. And he shot three people. May he rot in hell.
Very cool.
Very cool, yeah. Very cool, Ewan.
Has anyone else got any comments on Kenosha?
Well, I think you've covered, like...
Police brutality, bad, ACAB.
All criminals are bad, I do agree
This show does not endorse ACAB because, by God, that's a controversial statement.
Yes.
Brescia, however, is free to say whatever she wants.
Yes.
We don't control her.
Police bad. Police brutality bad.
We're all going to agree that police brutality are bad. We might not agree that police are bad.
ACAB in America is probably a fairly valid statement. That's what I mean. In the US, yeah.
I don't think that you can sufficiently say that all police are bad. No.
Again, it's those radical idiots that are just ruining it for everyone else.
Yes.
This time the radical idiots are the 90% instead of the 10%.
Yes.
In the UK, I totally disagree.
However, in this case, 40% of police officers that were asked admitted to beating their wives.
What?
Oh, there's a massive statistic. Hold on.
Could you quote where you got the statistics? We're not just
it's a popular statistic, Archie.
Could you quote where it's from? The wide breadth of survey where it's done.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm interested because we obviously don't like putting out fake news. Here.
Yes. Especially when it makes Archie's opinions look bad.
Okay, maybe not 40%, but research.
There we are. I don't think they would admit that they might. 40% might, but they wouldn't admit.
Okay. Police have a much bigger domestic abuse problem than the NFL does. Research suggests that family violence is 2 to 4 times higher in the law enforcement community than in the general population.
Wow.
So that's still not great.
Yeah, it's not great. No, but what's it like in the general population?
Regardless, it's horrific.
Not 40%. I don't remember my exact numbers.
I was just wondering because I've never heard this statistic before.
Exact numbers aside, domestic violence in US police and law enforcement is much higher than the general population.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's the gist you need to take away from what I've just said. Anyway, moving on. The new Lib Dem leader.
Very cool.
Ed Davey has won Lib Dem leadership race as of today. And does it really matter, guys? Does anyone... Do the Lib Dems still matter?
No.
My opinion, no.
They're a party.
The Lib Dems have very, very much dropped off since 2010.
I will tell you
they're
how
still
many
better
people
than
they
Labour.
Had.
For yeah, no, they're
I
not.
Think they literally have like 3 people in. Like they have. Like,
I think it's not.
They have 11.
11.
Yeah. Oh. They have 11.
For a party that has over the last 10 years has gone from being in coalition government to just not.
They had 8 in 2015, so they've gone up by 2.
They had even more in 2010. They're like 40 something.
Yeah,
they
very much dropped off the map, and now the SNP has overtaken them.
Yes, yeah.
It's
SNP.
Yeah, it's interesting because there's a good analogy I found. It must have been a couple of years ago. Basically, it was that Lib Dems are just a bunch of old schoolboys who just have like idealist policies or something. Utopian. They want a utopian world because, as we all agree, they are. In our opinions, politically irrelevant currently.
Naive. Much like Tories.
In my opinion,
a lot of Lib Dems, that back in the 90s when John Major was elected, there was what was called the shy Tory factor, where people were afraid to admit that they were Tories, but would still vote Tory. So in the polling, it looked as if Labour was going to have like a landslide and just didn't.
I think that's actually quite good. If I was asked in an exit poll, I'd obviously vote Tory, but I'd say in the exit poll, I voted Labour. You know, just to mess
yes, up Archie, because, that's because they were embarrassed because, to be
no,
Tories.
Because you see, then what you have is you have the statistics saying 90% Labour win. Labour landslide, and it comes at 90% Tory landslide. Just see, excellent.
Very cool, Archie. Anyway, as I was saying, I think this sort of shy Tory factor applies a lot to Lib Dems because they are basically just Tories, but they're afraid to admit that they're Tories. The Tories, but they don't want the connotations that come with being part of the Tory party.
Yeah.
There's no... There are connotations.
And there are connotations to like being part of the Labour Party as well.
Yes.
There are connotations to everything.
Yeah, there are connotations
Thank you
of
for
not
your English
hating
literature,
poor people.
Your English literature review there.
English anyway. Literature teachers are just...
everything is connotation. Everything means something. Every word.
Hyperbole.
So, in a very quick little US election update, we've got the Republican and Democratic National Conventions going on at the moment. Some real hot takes coming out of those.
I know, it's interesting. I read a very funny tweet the other day. It was the the US Republican Party is turning like North Korea, because you know that when 6 out of the 12 announced speakers all have the same last name. Because it's becoming like a family party. Trump puts in four of his children and his wife in as the speakers. And it's like the majority of the speakers are all Trump.
Which is bad. The Republican National Convention at this point is just kind of a
shoo-in, basically. They're both shoo-ins. We knew that he was going to give you Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and then Donald Trump and...
It is essentially going through the motions. However, I would say the Democratic National Convention is necessary because the more delegates we can take away from Biden and give to Sanders, the better. Archie laughs at the prospect the of not hating poor people.
I don't hate poor people.
You want free healthcare and workers' rights? Ha ha, libtard.
I've never said I hate poor people.
No, you just
imply
it a lot.
You've never said it.
I've never implied it either. No.
It's the quiet part that you don't say out loud, Archie.
No, I'm not afraid of my opinion. I give my opinion as facts. Otherwise, I would be a Lib Dem, not a Tory.
I give my opinion as facts.
No,
we have that on record.
I give my opinion
as fact,
yes.
Guys.
I mean, I give it out, and you know, you can do what you want. I'm not afraid of my opinion.
Archie hates Tories. Anyway, you've been
Archie's ashamed of his own political opinions.
That is not true.
Archie isn't ashamed of anything.
No. Oh, no.
What, you ashamed of Archie?
What are you ashamed of?
No.
Anyway, thank you for listening.
Thanks,
this
guys.
Has been Politibabble.
I'm ashamed that I used to fly. Oh, it's just awful.
I thought you meant like...
No, fly.
Like actually, like actually with
fly.
Wings?
No. Why'd I fly with wings?
I don't know.
Anyway, this has been Politibabble. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you. Yep. Hugs and kisses.
Yep.
Yes, that's
from Sam.
You've
been Politibabbled.
We've got some catchphrases
in,
guys.
Been replaced.
Bish got punched there, by the way.
Ailish punched me.
Ailish, how could you?
We invite you on this podcast and this is how you repay us.